Hey guys, what's up? My name is Anthony, and welcome to another edition of Being a Sports Talk. So I'm kind of in the working mood now. I wanted YouTube, but my Wi-Fi in my freaking place doesn't work, and so I don't know. I should get it fixed, but it's kind of like I'm too lazy to. Anyway, so let's go talk about the New York Giants, kind of what I'm feeling, kind of an update, kind of a feng shui, a flow. I haven't really been watching a ton of film, per se. I watch like the 10 to 12 minute cut-ups for the games that people have, but man, I'm still in full bloom love with Charles Cross. Obviously, Trevor Penning tested out a little bit better than him, faster 40, faster 3-cone drill, which I'm a little bit concerned about, but I still think Trevor Penning plays stiff. I still think he's going to need to get under control, and his pro comp is Taylor Lewan, but there's not really many other pro comps for Trevor Penning, and people are like, oh, I'll take him at number 7. Let's chill. Let's take a chill pill. We have the top 3 offensive tackles. Initially, I was lower on Ikem Ekwonu, but I think he has the right head on his shoulders. I think he's willing to play. He's going to be fine. He's going to be a good, solid NFL pro. That's going to be good. Long enough arms, long enough everything. May trend more out to a guard in the NFL. You say that. I just think that the way he plays, it's more of a guard to me. Okay? Don't shoot me. But Charles Cross, his pad level could be better. I've been watching him kind of. He's been getting lucky, good anchor, but he's been gaining weight apparently. You know, 285. Now he's more like 310. So, and he hasn't really lost that athleticism. I think he's just going to be a smart pro. People are like, oh, he's the most pro-ready tackle. I think Evan Neal's the most pro-ready. People are overthinking it. Evan Neal's going to be the first overall pick. That's just going to happen. I placed a bet on it too. I placed a bet on it when it was like 2-1, and now it's like minus 120. And it's funny because, you know, I feel like more people understand betting, but it's so funny, like, listening to the people that don't understand betting. It's like, what does that mean? What does minus 120 mean? It's like, do I have to explain it to you? If you don't know, you bet 120, you make 100 back. And the more you kind of get used to betting, speaking of that, Calvin Ridley, I have a short up on that soon on my YouTube page, I think. But the more you get used to betting the terminology, it just makes sense. Like when you're talking about football, you're talking about cover 2 and stuff like that, you just visualize it, it makes more sense. Anyway, so I have the tackles. I haven't really done much work otherwise, but I'm going to come out eventually. We've still got a month and a half left until like we really start to have to hammer down. I don't like reviewing prospects in like the 5th round. I don't have time. 2, it's just not interesting to me. Like seeing the tools, I just don't understand it that well to make any brave predictions. Last year I made a video just talking about like, oh, I just saw the guy's name and I'm like, I had a theory. I'm like, I can predict if this guy's going to be successful in the NFL or not. Like, if the guy has, like, his name is Jaquizz Rodgers or something like that. Remember the running back from Atlanta? I'm like, is that really a successful NFL name? But a successful NFL name is, like, Todd Gurley. You know, Christian McCaffrey. You know, I had, like, a theory on that. But that's I only go into, like, the 2nd round. Maybe some 3rd round guys. Like, you know, the Matt Parrots that we're all high on. Like, there's some guys like Tyler Johnson. It's just like, oh, yeah, no, this guy can be good, but I'm not going to start going deep in depth. I watch the videos and listen to what the guys think about players, but I'm only really going to do the top 6-7 prospects at each position, which, you know, is already a lot. But right now I have the best tackle, Evan Neal, and then it's Charles Cross, slightly below that. And then actually right there is Ikem Ekwonu. Then at number 4, I have Raymond, because it seems like he's coachable. He's a good guy. Now, his ceiling, I don't think is really that high, per se. I don't think he's going to ever be one of the top 10 tackles in the league. But how many players end up being top 10 tackles at one point in their career? Not many. That's why it's top 10. But then, yeah, there's always like 15 to 16 top 10 tackles in the league. You guys know how it works. You know, this guy's top 10 tackle. We just give him the benefit of the doubt if he's on your team. Like Andrew Thomas, to me, he's a top 10 tackle. But for not everyone else. Anyway, so at 4 would be Raymond. And then, you know, Trevor Penning, he does have some skill set like that. But he's not draftable for me. I wouldn't draft him. I just don't like him. I have a bias against him. I wouldn't draft him. And, you know, we're gonna see what the theory of our front office is now, because he drafted Spencer Brown. Seems like they are focusing more towards 2nd, 3rd round linemen. But they from what I hear, they do have a pretty good like idea, grasp of positional value. What's better positional value than offensive tackle in the top 10? There's not much. You know, quarterback in the top 10, that's elite, but that you're not gonna find that value. But if you can get the 2nd best tackle on your board, that's great value at number five, you know, especially with the value of the how good the tackles are this year. And people are like, oh, we're going to draft the third best tackle at number five. No, their board is going to be different from yours. Like, people are like, why did the Giants draft the worst first round tackle? He's worse than Austin Jackson at the number four spot. He drafted the fifth best offensive lineman at number four. Now, shut up. He was the best offensive tackle in that draft. Maybe Tristan Wirfs will be in the end because he already made two All-Pros, which is pretty crazy. Andrew Thomas has not even made a Pro Bowl yet, and even Rashawn Slater has. But, you know, he's been dealing with injuries. By the way, that's something I am concerned about. But if you can deal with an offensive line with, you know, Andrew Thomas, Charles Cross, Andrew Thomas, then Shane Lemieux, who showed some positive signs last year, I don't think his knee is going to be that big of an issue. And then the center, I don't know. Bring back Billy Price on a cheap deal. He wasn't awful. Then right guard. Maybe put Matt Parrott there. Matt Parrott swing tackle. It's going to be interesting what he would do with that. And then Charles Cross. Like, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, that's pretty good. And now some other teams like the Chargers got their quarterback before they built the offensive line. And some was like pretty much the same time with the Bills. You know, Deion Dawkins, I think, drafted in 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it may have been before that. But it feels like he has been in the league for a while. But yeah, it's kind of building around. So there's no like one formula to build an offensive line, which is good. It's just gotta get good players, which Charles Cross should be. So that's kind of like my top five now. And I've been kind of trying to get into receivers recently. I think when you go after a guy like Treylon Burks, the reason why we're talking about a lot today, but the reason why the A.J. Browns are successful because they're drafted in the second round, kind of overlooked. So that's something I think needs to happen to a Treylon Burks rather than being drafted at 13 because you're saying, oh, look at all these second round guys. Why don't you move them to the first round? Part of what makes, you know, the DK Metcalfs and whatever is, you know, I was drafted in the second round. They really don't like me, you know, not like, they drafted me where I should be. So I think that's really going to help a guy like Treylon Burks. Don't know him personally, but I feel like that should help him, motivate him to get, improve the aspects of his game that really need improvement, maybe get a little faster, and do those sort of things. He didn't really test out that well. I still think Jameson Williams is my number one wide receiver because it feels like that translates to the NFL. Your Henry Ruggs, like, I mean, you just watch him. I mean, I'm not pretending I watched 20 hours of film on this guy. I watched a game, and it's just like, no, this guy has Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith to him. Maybe not as smart, but he definitely has that repertoire. I think I'd be comfortable taking him in the top 15. I watched the franchise guys episode with Drake London, boom or bust prospect. We'll see, but Jameson Williams, and then I'll probably have Garrett Wilson number two. I was really disappointed with Chris Olave's film. But yeah, it definitely would be like one Jameson Williams, two Chris Olave. And whether the Giants should take one of those, I wouldn't. I wouldn't take it, obviously, in the first round. I've seen a couple mock drafts that had that just to people want to be different. But, you know, we'll wait to the second round. We'll see. We'll see. There's a guy out of Penn State that apparently a lot of people like. I'll start watching those guys. But as far as first round, I mean, wide receiver's gone. I've been seeing like the linebackers drop, but I wouldn't mind having Devin Lloyd. Now, the production, he has had a lot of production, and that doesn't always translate to the NFL, but I mean, he's smart, he's toolsy, he's fits the number one, you know, what do you call it? The number one what? What was I saying? He fits the modern linebacker. That's what you get. So, honestly, at 5 and 7, people are like, oh, I'd rather have the 15, 16, and 19 pick for the Eagles almost. No, I wouldn't do that. The 5th and 7th, this is why you traded the pick. It's going to be funny because eventually I'm going to do, like, what the team would have picked if they still had the draft pick, you know? And that's going to be fun. But, like, the Seahawks, if they still had pick number 10, who would they have picked? You know, would they have picked an offensive lineman? Whatever it was. But yeah, 5, I'm still leaning Cross. I think really how the draft goes at this point is Neal, Hutchinson, even though TFG, the franchise guy, made a really good point about Ikem Okwonu. Then I see the, what was it called, the Texans. They can go a bunch of different ways, and the Patriot way, they're going to do a positional value, so they're not going to draft. They're not going to draft Kyle Hamilton. They might draft this Stingley just as like a high prospect. Obviously, they may trade Sean Watson, and that could change a bunch of things, and they just go after somebody else we don't know. But then they should be going Thibodeau or something like that. even though the character concerns are concerning, that them or the Jets going after a couple corners. I do think that at least one of the tackles is going to fall down to us. So I think I would do Cross. Then the Panthers would go. They would select a guy. They are in an interesting spot. They're like the team that's desperate to trade back because they don't have a second or a third. So I see Cross, and then I want to go defense with that second pick. I'm starting to get a little bit higher on Ahmad Gardner because a lot of people are making me. I didn't see the real hip fluidity when I first turned on the film, but at the combine, I really did see that. I mean, long arms translate. We're cutting James Bradbury. It really is this next week that's going to be really telling for us, but I'm still sticking with the fact that I want Cross and then defense at 7, whether it's Lloyd. I don't care about the positional value. Devin White, I mean, I took a look at what he's done, and I think Lloyd is quicker, smarter, more modern player than him. Or Gardner. Stingley, it's kind of an E-A-U on, because he is explosive, elite. I mean, same injury as McKinney did, so maybe McKinney can give him some tips if he comes in. But, I mean, the upside in this guy. But eventually, if you're the Giants, you're not about upside. You're just about selecting good players. You need to build that foundation, that base. But we also do have a decent amount of, of depth. I won't say depth. Actually, no, it's kind of wrong. If you figure our depth right now, it's Andrew Thomas. Our offensive line depth is not good. Our wide receiver depth may be trailing. But our cornerback depth is good. So if you select a high, boom or bust prospect and make our secondary elite with Derek Stingley, imagine we had the freshman version of Derek Stingley. I mean, because he's going to work hard. It's just the injury. You know he's going to work hard. And I don't know. But let's talk about Thibodeau just to end it. He said he was going to run some things at the combine. It didn't. So this is like an ongoing trend. It kind of reminds me at work. Like, you're always going to be that person. You can put on a facade for as long as you want. But people underneath are always that same person. Like, you talk to drug addicts and stuff. Like, they recover. But I was speaking with this lady at nearby where I work. I was kind of just moving around the neighborhood, getting to know people for my, reporter stuff. And she goes, oh, no, yeah, if I could, she's like, yeah, I'm a recovering crack addict, 20 years. But like, yeah, if my husband dies tomorrow, I'd go right back. He's the only one keeping me, so it's a lot of that. You're always that person underneath. Maybe he needs that wake-up call in New York like Micah Parsons did, because there are a lot of character concerns with him. But it was a bunch of childish things. With Thibodeau, it's a bunch of ego things. And I don't think you can fix ego. I don't think you really can. But maybe New York will change it, or maybe it will just exacerbate it. I don't know. Because when he does end up thriving, I think that problem is just going to continue to be there. Like, oh, once he figures that out in the NFL, that ego thing is going to come right back. He kind of has that Eli Apple a little bit, and not even he's better than Neil Apple, but kind of has that little thing going on. Just like, I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'd to lean away towards Thibodeau right now, to Cross over Thibodeau. That might be a bold statement, but Bobby Skinner doesn't seem to agree. But we all have our own different draft takes. But yeah, I hope you guys did enjoy this little podcast on the internet, and I'll see you guys in the next one. Bye, guys.